SB Nation AM, on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, it is March Memories, and in lieu of the tournament, we go back in time to remember some of the better moments of the NCAA tournament. Before we get to today's team, O'Reilly Auto Parts want to help you make your auto repairs, maintenance, and restoration projects easier. So when your car isn't stopping like it used to, the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts help you find the parts and supplies that you need to do to get the job done right the first time. So now, for a limited time, save 15% when you buy any set of Brake Best pads and two Brake Best rotors. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today. O'Reilly Auto Parts, better prices every day. So today's team, the 2003 Syracuse Orange, who won the national title, the only one for Jim Boeheim, who had a lot of runs in the tournament, cut short, whether it was in the Final Four championship game or in the second round. Jim Boeheim had the Orange rolling in the 80s, part of the powerful Big East, but could not cut down the nets and did not cut down the nets until 2003 when he had a heralded freshman class in Carmelo Anthony, Jerry McNamara, as well as some veterans on that team. Hakeem Warwick was on that team, and they made their run and won the national championship. But in order to appreciate where Syracuse in the 2003 season was, you have to kind of look back on some of where the teams that Jim Boeheim had going into the tournament and how he failed to, again, win a title. You go back into the 80s, right? You go back into the 86 season, for example, where they lost to David Robinson and Navy in round number two as a number two seed. In 1987, they finally put the pieces together. They had Derek Coleman, Sherm Douglas, Ronnie Cicely. They made their run. They beat Providence in the Final Four. That was Rick Pitino and Billy Donovan. But then they lost to Indiana in the national title game. And if you're old enough to remember, or you know a little bit of your basketball history, that's the game Keith Smart knocked down the shot at the Superdome in New Orleans that gave Indiana and Bobby Knight the championship. That team was excellent. That team was led by Steve Alford, who was an Indiana Mr. Basketball, really good dead-eye outside shooter. But Syracuse had, again, Ronnie Cicely, who'd gone to play in the NBA, Sherm Douglas, Derek Coleman, and a team that could not get quite there. And then the next year, knowing he still had a very good basketball team, they had number three seed going into the tournament in 88, but they lost to a spunky Rhode Island team. And the one thing I remember about that game, it was in round two, a devastating loss for Syracuse, because Rhode Island had a player on their team whose father was blind. And CBS made a real point of showcasing the blind father at the game with his other son calling play-by-play it for his dad while he is listening to his son lead the Rhode Island Rams to a victory over a number three seed in the tournament. It was really heartwarming, except if you're a Syracuse fan, it was really kind of, you know, can't believe we're losing to this team. They would lose to other teams throughout the tournament. They got knocked out as a number two seed to Richmond in 91. They did get to the finals in 96. They lost to a number one Kentucky team, and that was at the Meadowlands in New Jersey. By the way, I think, if I'm not mistaken, that was the last national title to be played in a basketball arena. I think after that, they just started going to these football stadium conversions that we see now with like 70,000 right. people. But I think the Meadowlands, where the Nets played, whatever that was called, that was the last time we played in a basketball arena. So, but again, had teams that went to the Sweet 16, lost to Duke. Sweet 16, lost to Michigan State, right? Lost to Oklahoma State in the first round in 1999. Then they got to 2003. They were down 17 to Oklahoma State in round two. They rallied back, won that game, beat the Cowboys. Then they went on to beat Auburn, took down number one seed Oklahoma in their region, and then beat number one seed Texas in the Final Four. And then they would go on to play Kansas. Syracuse was a three seed that year. They won 30 games. Again, you have Carmelo Anthony on the team. You have Jerry McNamara on the team. You have Hakeem Warwick. You are well led by youth. You've also got some experience on that team as well. And they go on to beat Kansas. Now, what people remember about that game probably the most is the block that Hakeem Warwick had on Michael Lee. Michael Lee went into the corner. Kansas had a wide open look for three. And then here comes Hakeem Warwick out of nowhere to sort of block that and secure the victory for Syracuse. But it was a long time coming for this team. Carmelo Anthony would go on into the NBA, get drafted by the Denver Nuggets. He was the number three pick overall. And then Jerry McNamara sort of bounced around. McNamara he won the championship as a freshman, but he had a really interesting legacy, because you think if you are a freshman and you win the only title, you know, the only modern title in school history, that would be more of your legacy. But the pride of Scranton, Pennsylvania had a different legacy too. In 2006, he led Syracuse to 4 wins in 4 days during the Big East tournament. He had a longer legacy than just winning a national title while he was with the Orange. But Akeem Warrick went on to play in the NBA, was drafted by the Memphis Grizzlies. You got a number of other players on that team that have had sort of different, you know, different runs of not amateur, but smaller professional leagues in college basketball. But this is one of the special teams, because when you think about it, this was a power program. This wasn't a program. This is very much similar to what Arizona's story was. A team that was always around, a team that was always in contention, a team that you would have picked to win it all in any bracket that Lute Olson had decent teams. And Syracuse was one of them. One of the only basketball pools I remember winning outright by myself was when I was in school in 1987, because I was one of the only kids in the who did this pool. And I think it was like $1 a piece. And so I didn't win all that much money, but who had Syracuse and Syracuse deep into the tournament. I had them winning the championship, and they played Indiana for the title. None of my friends did. So I picked up a lot of, you know, points, but that was really the only, you know, a lot of times I don't do particularly well on this because I overthink, and I think it's my sin, is I overthink the bracket. But again, he would have other runs in 2013. He took his team to the Final Four. Remember in 2016, this was down in Houston. They were a 10 seed going into the tournament. Remember this team? And again, that zone defense that's hard to prepare for if you're not used to it, like conference opponents. He took Syracuse to the Final Four, where they lost to North Carolina in Houston. A team that really was not built well to go to a championship or make a championship run, but the tournament is quirky enough that's what happens. They lost to Michigan in 2013 in the Final Four, but they never cut down the nets since 2003 and that championship run of Carmelo Anthony. And this is the thing. Carmelo Anthony is, you know, we look at his career and we see this incredible professional arc, right? In Denver. I remember when he arrived, right? The Nuggets were abysmal. And then he arrived, they started making the playoffs. But the caveat to that was the Nuggets would lose in round one. They had Carmelo Anthony, and they brought in Allen Iverson, and they had Kenyon Martin, but they always would lose in round one. And it didn't matter where they were. They would lose to Minnesota, or they would lose to the Lakers, or they'd lose to Utah. The Spurs twice. I mean, the Clippers. They were underachieving with the talent that they had. You know, no one thought they were NBA championship worthy, but my God, I mean, they couldn't get out of round one until the one year they did, where they played in the Western Conference Finals and lost to the Lakers. And then Anthony went to New York, and, you know, he's kind of had the jeers and the cheers, and he's been laughed at. But you win a national championship as a freshman, man. They never taken that away from you.
And that's what Syracuse, before that happened, that's what Syracuse was really getting known for. I mean, they came close a couple of times, but they're always first, second round exit.
Yep.
Always.
And the talent that he had, I mean, the talent that Jim Boeheim had, Pearl Washington, one of the premier players of his time. And they could not use him to get past a good Virginia team or a good Georgia Tech team that was led by Mark Price, and Kenny Anderson. That was probably before Kenny Anderson's time, but, David Robinson. I mean, they lost to David Robinson at Navy. I mean, David Robinson is one of the premier basketball players, but that's all they had at Navy was David Robinson. And they found themselves on the losing. They got beat pretty badly by Navy in the second round in 86.
Yeah. So, well, I was also looking at 2005, 2006, where they had two first round exits, and they lost to number 13 Vermont, the number 12 Texas A&M.
Like, I remember when Vermont beat them, yeah.
Yeah, oh, yeah, so do I.
Yep.
That was
one of the other, you know, the list of upsets of big seeds going in round.
But
down
that was always
one.
The thing. They never really lost. I mean, they would lose to the games that you knew they should have won.
That's right.
And that was their MO for a long time.
Had a lot of heartbreak, especially in the 80s. Ronnie Cicely, I think, is an underappreciated player. This is a guy that grew up in like war-torn Beirut or something like Lebanon or something. And in the 80s, I remember they asked him, they said, does the crowd noise bother you? And he goes, crowd noise? You never heard a bomb go off. It doesn't bother me at all. That was Ronnie Cicely.